Encouraging words to the workers. The divine command to deliver Israel found Moses self-distrustful, slow of speech, and timid. He was overwhelmed with a sense of his incapacity to be a mouthpiece for God. But he accepted the work, putting all his trust in the Lord. The greatness of his mission called into exercise the best powers of his mind. God blessed his ready obedience, and he became eloquent, hopeful, self-possessed, and well-fitted for the greatest work ever given to man. This is an example of what God does to strengthen the character of those who trust him implicitly and give themselves unreservedly to his commands. The humble, efficient worker who obediently responds to the call of God may be sure of receiving divine assistance. To feel so great and holy a responsibility is of itself elevating to the character. It calls into action the highest mental qualities, and their continued exercise strengthens and purifies mind and heart. The influence upon one's own life, as well as upon the life of others, is incalculable. It is wonderful how strong a weak man may become through faith in the power of God, how decided his efforts, how prolific of great results. The hesitating and irresolute, through exercising his abilities in the cause of God, becomes firm and decided. Taking in the great fact that he is called by the Redeemer of the world to work with him for the salvation of men, he dedicates his life to the work. His nature becomes exalted, the mission of Christ opens before him with new importance and glory, and with deep humility he recognizes in himself a co-laborer with the Savior. No higher office is given to man. No joy can equal the assurance of being an instrument in the hand of God for saving souls. It is a grand thing to look back upon a course of labor all marked with glorious results, to see precious souls progressing in the light through your efforts, to feel that God has worked with and through you in the harvest field of the world. Careless spectators may not appreciate your work or see its importance. They may think it a losing business, a life of thankless labor and self-sacrifice. But the servant of Jesus sees it in the light shining from the cross. His sacrifices appear small in comparison with those of the blessed Master, and he is glad to follow in his steps. The success of his labor affords him the purest joy and is the richest recompense for a life of patient toil. In reviewing the past, the trials and difficulties that have beset him are not magnified in his mind. The consciousness of duty performed amply compensates for all his sufferings, and the glory of his coming reward clothes the future with the light of heaven. Glancing over the well-fought field of life, he says with Paul, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8, verse 38-39. He who is called of God to so sacred a work should put all his energies to its accomplishment. Every other consideration should become secondary to this great object. He should feel the solemn obligations resting upon him, one whom God has honored by choosing to unite him with the angels in the work of ministering to souls and enlightening them with the divine truth. The history of our Savior's conflict in the wilderness of temptation, his life of self-sacrificing love, his soul agony in Gethsemane, the cruelty of the judgment hall, and the agony upon the cross, all combine to teach a lesson of self-sacrifice, of patience under affliction, of solemn consecration to God, and of fitting preparation for his holy work. Laborer for God, when weary and heavy laden, flee to Christ, who has promised you rest. He is the burden bearer, he is your strength. Never allow yourself to believe that you are in yourself sufficient for the exigency of the times. Never regard yourself as a graduated Christian. Your work is to discipline the mind, to store up knowledge, to perfect character while life lasts. Only thus can you be able to wage successfully the great warfare of life. Keep the spirit humble as that of a little child. Envy, pride, worldly ambition, cupidity, and love of ease must be sacrificed upon the altar of duty. In the simplicity of love, be like those little ones whose angels do always behold the face of our Heavenly Father. But unite with these virtues the courage of a tried warrior. We want faithful Calebs who will raise their voices fearlessly in defense of the right, who are the first to press into the front of the battle and plant the banner of truth in the heart of the enemy's camp. Jesus calls for young men who will volunteer to carry the truth to the world. Men of spiritual stamina are wanted, men who are able to find work close at hand because they are looking for it. The church needs new men to give energy to the ranks, men for the times, able to cope with its errors, men who will inspire with fresh zeal the flagging efforts of the few laborers, men whose hearts are warm with Christian love, and whose hands are eager to go about their master's work. The unsearchable riches of Christ are to be presented to the world in contrast with the poverty of sin and the delusive pleasures of the world. Only a heart brimming with the love of God, only a mind active by constant study of eternal interests, can properly set forth the beauties of the truth of God. Those who unreservedly give themselves to this work, who faithfully reflect the beams of the Sun of Righteousness, fulfilling their mission with fidelity and love, will be recompensed on earth by the sweet consciousness of duty performed, and in the bright hereafter, when the saints shall come into their inheritance, the devoted worker for Christ will be welcomed into the joy of his Lord, hearing from the Master's lips, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." M.S.